3 weeks, Tuesday through Friday, we're going to come in here and hear Thus Saith the Lord. And in doing so, it's impossible for you to stay at the same faith level. It's just simply impossible. It goes against God's word. It's just like if you continue to sin, it's impossible but that the curse is going to come on your life. Right? Well, it's impossible to listen to the word like you're going to get it and your faith level stay at the same level, dimension. And you might just be one level away. One word from God can change your life forever. It could be tonight. See, I just need you all just to have that earnestness of the spirit. For me, I have to really buckle down and shut off things even more so to focus on these meetings. I don't know that we've ever done this before, having 3 weeks of meetings like this. I don't remember it, but we've never been here before. And when you put the Word of God first place, Michelle, it's gonna make place for you. We're not here out of religious ritualism. We're not here because we don't have nothing else to do, right? We're here because we want to hear what we are to do and what we have been doing, how close we are for that to be manifested in our lives. So this week I really have to make some things clear in our memories, in our, you know, I worked on airplanes and I was taxi qualified. That meant I could get in the airplane on the pilot side, start the engines, talk to the tower, get clearance, and taxi that airplane out to the place where we would test them and run it up to full takeoff power. And, you know, you don't do that by just reading a book. Hello. And that's a lot of responsibility. When you take that up to full power and you got your feet on the brakes, knowing that there's an ocean that's 75 feet in front of you, that if you take your feet off the brake, that thing's going to try to get in it, right? And we're doing it at night, you know. But anyways, in doing all that, there's preparation. You know, even got to the place of doing power test takeoffs where you actually had a pilot and then the supervisor would be in the co-pilot seat. And now you're not only going up to take off power, you're going down the runway. And my job is to hold that yoke forward, because all I have to do is pull it back. We're going up. But that's not what we're checking. We're checking to make sure that everything is operating right, so when they do pull back, it will go up. And when you feel that power and you're running down that runway and the pilot's got the power and he's got the nose wheel and that's what he's doing, and I could feel that thing just, you know, wanting to, if you just let go of it, it's going to try to center itself, see? And so we want to get prepared for what God's going to release in here. And I told you Sunday, Titus 1:3, how God in due times manifested his word through preaching. Remember that? And I believe it's your due time. I believe it's my due time. And for some of you, I believe it's past your due time. And we're going to leap up and get caught up and so on and so forth. Right? And I made the statement that preaching takes the Logos word and turns it into Rhema revelation. I don't know if y'all caught that, but I need you to catch that. Because preaching, when it comes out of an anointed individual that has manifestation in their life, they're not teaching from a Logos standpoint. They're preaching from a Rhema standpoint. And the only way somebody can achieve that kind of level is they've had to work the Logos and hear preaching from other Rhema preachers that they grabbed a hold of and have brought it into their life and applied it and got the results. Now, I'm not saying I've arrived, but me and Mom Alberta, we've manifested a few things through the years. And I'm going to give you everything that I got. I ain't going to hold nothing back, right? Unless the Lord says, and don't go there, they ain't ready for it. And I just don't believe you're going to tell me that this week. So tonight, I made the statement with the acronym RIDE. Remember that? R is what? I is what? S is what? Just checking. He's going to make up something. D is what? And E is what? Now, we're gonna ride this thing tonight. We're going to break this thing down to where you see how this flows together for your miracle. God has a miracle for you. And not just one. He has many. As much as you can believe Him for. See? And so, let's get into the Word with that. And again, I'm going to try to hold this to an hour each night. Because how many of y'all watch Super Bowl? Okay, then I know you can stay up past 8:30 and still go to work. Maybe I'll just have to throw that hour away. I didn't watch it. That satanic propaganda machine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the halftime and all the ads they put on there. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3. We're talking about the first one, revelation. And let me say this. Revelation is not what you think Scripture is saying. Revelation is not what you think Scripture is saying. Have you ever tried to figure out the Word of God? You said you was going to be obedient. That would be yes. Right? You saw a scripture? The beast. The Antichrist. And you're going to try to figure it out. Right? Or whatever it may be. And revelation goes past your figuring out. It goes past your thinker. See? And if you think you're going to think your way to victory and your miracle, you are sadly mistaken. Revelation is what the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Upon this rock I will build my church. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Right? And so revelation is necessary for victory. The just shall live by. You know what makes you different from mainstream Christianity? revelation. That's what makes you different. That's why you can talk to a brother or sister in the Lord that's born again, but they don't have the Holy Ghost, and they don't have that revelation. And you can find common ground in the cross. You can find common ground in the resurrection, but don't go to Pentecost. And that's real to you. See? And when things are revealed to you, now watch this. When things are revealed to you, responsibility comes. You can't just be this revelator walking around with all this revelation, because you're going to be responsible for every bit of revelation. To whom much is given, much is required. So when things are revealed to you, it's not so that you can put a feather in your cap and act like you all spiritual. It's revealed to you to incorporate that in your life and become a doer of it. See? And that's why we hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's why we seek the kingdom first. Because all these other things will be added to us when we get the correct revelation. Are you in Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 3. It says here in verse number 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. How is God going to show me the way? How is God going to do what I'm believing him for? See, it's still a mystery. It's still a mystery. How is he going to get me in that house? How is he going to heal this complication in my body? How? Revelation. He's going to make revelation known unto you. Now follow this, because the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, right? And the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Okay, what does that mean? That means there's a light at the end of your path. That light is in its full brightness. That's manifestation. God needs us moving towards that light. And the more you move towards the light, the brighter it gets, the clearer it becomes. Revelation starts to come. And you start to, oh, okay, that's why the Lord had me do this. God will have you do things that you don't even have the revelation of, but you know he said it, but the revelation will come later. Are you following this? Come on now. That's why the revelation of faith and seed time and harvest is so vital in accomplishing and receiving the next area of blessing in our lives, destiny fulfillment coming forth, right? So it's by revelation that we're made known mysteries. You know, I taught a series on mysteries years ago. What was it, 16 mysteries or something like that? And expounding what theologians mess up. Well, how could I expound those mysteries? By revelation. And I'm not saying I'm the smartest person on the planet, but I'm a whole lot smarter than I was when I got born again. By the Holy Ghost, right? And so it's by revelation. Now understand this. You're going to hear revelation this week. Some of it is revelation you let slip. I like what Dad Tilton says. It's like an old friend that dropped by, knocked on the door. Oh, hey, how you been? Something that you even had highlighted in your Bible and stars beside and you were confessing there for a while. Come on now, right? 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 And you, but see, what's so powerful about the Word of God, it's alive. It's alive. And so revelation is not limited to just a single revelation of a particular verse. In other words, one verse can give you a revelation in a season, and then that same verse can even get more and more revealing. The path of the just is as a shining light. It gets brighter and brighter, right? You following this? So revelation is not what you think Scripture should be, what you think it's saying. You know, when I was younger, you know, me and Dr. Thornton, Philip, he'd break away from Asbury College. He'd come down to Alpha House. And, you know, we'd try to figure things out. You know, I mean, we had a revelation. Both of us, you know, totally delivered from drugs and alcohol supernaturally. I mean, he shook under the power of God for 3 days as God was shaking all that cocaine out of him. Literally, 3 days. And, you know, we'd sit on that couch. Everybody else gone home after the Bible study. You know, we're sitting there. And what do you think about that scripture, Philip? Well, you know, the way I see it is like this. How do you see it? Well, you know, I can see how you're saying it. But, you know, and the more we did that, the further away we got from what it was really saying. Come on now. And then when the light did come on, oh, you know, there's going to be a lot of oh in heaven. You know that? We think we know a lot now, but when we get to heaven, oh, okay. That's what that was all about. So revelation is crucial. It's crucial. And, you know, we got a lot of entertainment churches these days, seeker-friendly churches. There ain't no revelation going on there. A funny story, a story that grips you, makes you cry, whatever, or both. Or this real, you know, like something that holds you, a story being told, and it just captivates you, and then it has some kind of ending. And you walk out of there same way you came in. See? Now, we want revelation. I said, we want revelation. And the only way revelation comes is by the Holy Ghost. Yes, revelation can come to you while you're at home. Should do. That should happen. Right? Revelation can come as you and a brother and sister are talking. Revelation can come to you while you're praying and communing with God. Right? But there's something about when the saints get together, and God said, he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, see, for the perfecting of the saints. Well, how's that perfection going to happen? Revelation knowledge. Jesus said, what I'm doing, you don't know now. But there's coming a time you're going to know. Remember that? See, and so these next 3 weeks, you're going to hear some things. And again, you're going to hear some old that's going to be refreshing. And you're going to hear some new, and you're going to go, oh. Let's practice that. Oh. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So, this is why the Holy Ghost is so necessary in meetings. We want the Holy Spirit of the living God to be welcomed and not to grieve the Holy Spirit and give him lordship and let him guide us and lead us through all this. Because listen, folks, I'm telling you, All it takes is just bam, and there it is. When Mama Alberta and Elder Family were trying to tell me about borrowing, and finally I'm taking scripture and combating them, when they would say, well, the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. Well, I'd finagle out of that somehow, and go around the mountain. And then finally, I looked at Mama Alberta. I said, look, I don't see it. You obviously see something. Lay your hand on me because I don't see it. You know if I see it, I'm on it. But I can't do nothing if I don't see it. See, folks, that's the problem with a lot in the body of Christ. They're not actually seeing something. They're doing something that they learned in a conference, but they don't actually see it. They heard somebody testify, and now they're out there trying to do that, right? She laid her little hand on me and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, let him see. And it wasn't long after that my eyes were open to it. Everything changed. Everything changed. See, everything changed. All it took was my eyes and my understanding to be enlightened. All it took was that revelation. And I couldn't lie and say I had that revelation. I didn't have it. I didn't have it. But it wasn't because God was denying it from me. See? And all it takes is just boom. And it can catapult you into multimillionaire status in your soul. You never look at it again. That poverty mindset just got blasted out of the water. I said I was going to do an hour, didn't I? I better get back over here. Hallelujah. So that's revelation. That's how important we need revelation, okay? Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're looking at inspiration now. Inspiration. 2 Timothy 3:16. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. All scripture is given by what? And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, I taught recently on inspiration and how that is actually God-breathed. Some translations translate it that way. And we found out that inspiration means in the Spirit. Inspiration, right? So inspiration, watch this, is not excitement. Let's sink in. Inspiration is not excitement. Inspiration can excite you, but don't confuse being excited about something that you're inspired. For instance, when Debbie Taylor was talking about going to the gym at New Year's, right? There were people excited about their New Year's resolution, right? Excited in the soul. But it wasn't down in here. Their heart wasn't in it. Right? Right? I know that. I did that for years. I'd get excited for a while, exercise for a while, and then back off. Right? But no more. I worked out today. Glory be to God. Right? And inspiration, see, is not excitement. And what you got is you got a lot of people to go to church, and the preacher gets them all excited. But listen to what's being said. All that. I had to stop early. Because that just is not in my flow. And the people all shouting, kicking their shoes off. Right? No change. Inspiration. Inspiration hits you in your spirit. Right? And it does something to you. What does it do, Pastor? What does it do, Pastor? You cannot be inspired without corresponding action. You're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. If you think you've been inspired and you don't do nothing with it, you weren't inspired, you were excited. Inspiration hits me to write a song. Well, the inspiration's not enough. I have to write the song. Now, stay with me on this, because it says it's profitable, right? For doctrine, how you live, reproof, to correct things, and it goes on to correction, instruction. It's not just so you be inspired. I just got so inspired tonight. Well, then it ought to inspire you into action. Are you following this? Don't miss this, because we got too much no action in the church at large. Not in here, right? But at the church in large. Okay. Now, Job 32:8. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. Three of you there waiting on the rest of you. Job 32:8. Okay. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. And let me go on and paraphrase this on what to do. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Right? And so this inspiration is not just you getting excited. Your soul can get excited. But when you're truly inspired, I'm talking about true inspiration, there's action. There is action. See? Not just, well, I tell you what, you could be inspired and not put no action to it and then just keep going around the same mountain, spinning your wheels, right? But that's not us. Now listen to me. You are going to be inspired. This came to me today while I was praying. You're going to be inspired this month to do something. That's going to be between you and God. But he's going to inspire you to do something, whatever that is, right? And watch this. And you don't know what it is. So just shut it, shut your thinker off. It's going to come by revelation, right? It's going to come by revelation. You don't know yet. See, so just tell your thinker, you don't know yet. See, inspiration, so necessary. How many times have I been at a place of looking like nothing was happening. And, you know, we sowed, we're standing, we're praising, we're confessing, and the only thing we knew to do, which was the right thing to do, get in a meeting. Get in a meeting. Get in a meeting where God's moving. Get in a meeting where the Word of God's getting preached. And I tell you what, boy, I mean, you talk about inspiration coming forth. Glory be to God. Come on now. We went to our first Kenneth Hagin camp meeting. We didn't have no money. And I had a little pager back in the day. We couldn't even afford a telephone. And I had a little pager. And that pager would go off, and I'd go down to the payphone and drop a quarter in and call who was paging me, right? And anyways, they got a hold of us that Charlie and Joyce are both in heaven. Glory be to God, saints of God, my goodness. And they said, God told us to take you to the Kenneth Hagin camp meet. And it's not going to cost you nothing. Well, that's good, because we had nothing. Right? And we had no money. We couldn't even pack any food. We didn't have nothing. They had crackers and sandwiches and all these things in their trunk. And that's what we ate out of that whole week, right? Remember that? And we all bunked down in the same room, sleeping on the floor. See, we needed some inspiration, right? And God knew to get us in that meeting. Kenneth Hagin was powerful. All the speakers were powerful, but there was a morning session. Dr. Roy Hicks, he's in heaven. And he taught it. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost coming on me. He got up every morning and preached on the sozo life. Changed my life forever. There we were. No money. No food. None of it. But God made sure that we got in that meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and would hear Dr. Roy Hicks, and that was the word that just literally, that's why I wrote that book, Sozo, The Sozo Life. Been teaching Sozo from then on, right? And I'm like, it's all inclusive. Jesus didn't leave nothing out. How come the Methodist Church didn't tell me that? Right? And you talk about being inspired. We came back, still broke. We came back, still didn't have no food in the house. But we didn't come back the same way we went out. No, something happened on the inside. And this month, something is going to happen to you on the inside, and it's going to change your life forever. Why don't you give an early shout? Well, I didn't feel no unction to shout. You don't need no unction to shout. Shout! I'll shout when I get an unction. Hallelujah. So, we've looked at revelation, we looked at inspiration. Let's look at determination. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's put our eyes on verse 2. Look at this. The Apostle Paul. I determined not to know anything. Remember when he said, I consider everything that I learned as dumb. Are we reading the Bible? You can determine not to know anything. I went to Jesus when I got saved, and I said, look, starting all over, I saw Philip Derber's best. I saw where that ended me up. Except you become as a child. All your street smart, all your education, all your, remember what I was telling you about? How you were raised, how you were educated, and how you and the things you experience shape you. Right? And you can't let that stop you from what God has for you. And so this is a guy that sat at Gamaliel's feet. I mean, he was tutored by the highest Pharisee in the land. There was no higher theological seminary that you could graduate from. He did. And he said, wait a minute. I determined not to know anything among you except this. Jesus Christ and him being a curse. Him being a curse. Crucified. Curses he that hangeth on a tree. So that the blessing of Abraham could come on us, right? Everything happened at the cross and the resurrection sealed it. He rose from the dead to ensure that everything at the cross we could live in. Come on now. He was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised again for our justification. Come on, somebody. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. So don't let your little thinker. See, you know what happens? And I know by experience, I did this, is, you sit in a lot of meetings, you know, you can quote some scripture, you've seen God's hand move, and what happens is when you're listening to somebody preach and teach, you start evaluating. Instead of listening, you're evaluating. You're missing it. It's going right over your head. You're evaluating instead of drawing. You're getting conclusions in your mind of, well, why did he say that? Yeah, it's good. I did it. I got to this place as a young preacher, going to a meeting, and I'd be listening to this preacher, and I'd be evaluating him. Not listening. Oh, I mean, I could hear what he was saying, but I'm not hearing what he's saying as far as it for me. And you have been guilty of that yourself. See? And you got to put up a shield against that. Otherwise, your answer just went in one ear. And where'd it go? Out the other. Come on now. I determined to know nothing. So, determination is essential to see what inspired you from the revelation all the way to completion. Are you following this? Determination will take you from the starting point all the way to the end. All the way to the end. Don't miss this. It's powerful. Because when Philip Derber's determined about something, I'm going to do it. I was like that as a sinner. No, serious. Some of you were. You thought you had to have that. Or you thought you had to have him. Or her. Or. Right? But when your determination is an offspring, if you will, from your inspiration that came from revelation, and you add conviction with your determination, you'll see it to the end. I've been sharing that with my workout schedule. What keeps me from falling off is conviction now. Conviction with my determination. Get your lazy butt up off her. Holy Ghost and Willie. He'll send me these little messages. How's your workout? I'm sitting down, you know, thinking about it. He sends me a little message. How's your workouts going, Pops? Great, Willie, great. And I get up and get with it. But most time it's the Holy Ghost, just, you know, conviction. You going to go 105? You going to go 105? Not being wheeled around? See? Well, you ain't going to 105 like that. You better do something. Aren't you glad God's merciful? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Determined. Now, listen. Don't try to get into some workout thing because pastor is. You know, just let the Holy Ghost. I know people that are in great shape. They're goofy. And that'll die early. Because they don't know what the Bible said. Come on now. Are you following this? And, you know, if you're 30, 40 pounds overweight and you like yourself, I like you. I like you. If you're happy, we come in all shapes and sizes. I just got to do something. This is what God's made real to me, right? It's a revelation to me. See, not trying to be Mr. America. Okay, so we've looked at revelation, have we not? We looked at inspiration, determination. What's the last one? Expectation. It's huge. It's huge. Now, let's go to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Now there's some wisdom nuggets coming out tonight. I hope you're catching this. Proverbs 24, let's put our eyes on verse 14. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto your soul when it's been revealed to you. When you found it, then is when the manifestation is going to happen. Then there shall be a reward, and your expectation shall not be cut off. You see how important revelation is? That brings inspiration and determination, and expectation shall not be cut off. Proverbs 23, back up a page, verse 18. For surely, covenant word, surely, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not. I don't care how impossible it looks. Shall not be cut off. So, let's go to Acts chapter 3 with all what I just said tonight in mind. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. You're somewhere in the future, and you look much better than you do right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you're looking pretty good right now, though. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew who it was. They knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Oh, people are going to be filled with wonder and amazement at what's going to happen to you. Yeah. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them, in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom you delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, Jesus, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by the man that got healed hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, a whole lot gets missed in this. A lot of evangelists will just take it and preach a certain portion of it. That's okay. They're doing what God assigned them to do. But when you study this out, when it's when we're at verse 2, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. If you look that out, look that up, he is in the process of being carried. He is not laid there down yet. I think it's the NIV or one of those translations even goes on and translates it properly, that he was being carried. Now, you need to understand there's a whole lot going on at this time in the city. Miracles are popping. Word's getting around. And they know that there's this regular prayer time that these miracle workers are going to the temple to pray, right? And so, some, you know, that word alms there can be interpreted money, but it can also be translated mercy. Now, it says they laid him daily at the gate. I believe this, that he heard about the miracles because faith hath made this man whole. Not Peter and John, right? And he had to have some kind of hearing, right? And when you realize he's being carried, and if it's just another day of begging at the gate, you know, oh, well, just drop me off here and pick me up and see how much jingle I can get today, right? But apparently he had enough influence to have people carrying him. He might have even been a person of substance. But the point being, he is being carried. And if he's just waiting to be plopped down once again at the gate beautiful before he starts his alms for the poor. Or has he heard about miracles that are popping all over the city, and that the guys that are doing these miracles show up at prayer time, right? Because when you understand he's being carried when he shouts out to them, mercy! Remember blind Bartimaeus? Jesus, son of David, give me an mercy. Have mercy. It was a big deal. Mercy, right? It was a big deal. See, so this whole thing about he was some old beggar being laid down there, Peter makes it clear that it was by his faith and faith in the name of Jesus. Now, how do you get faith in the name of Jesus? You have to hear, not, okay, you know what happened to the seven sons of Sceva? They heard about Jesus, but it didn't do them no good, right? So we're not talking about, you know, some magical word, abracadabra, right? We're not talking about that. So he had to have heard more than just Peter saying, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, right? And for him to be carried, and all of a sudden he sees the ones he'd been trying to hook up with. There they are. Hey! Follow this. And Peter says this to him. Look. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, what? Bad translation. That word on there, into. Into. Big difference. Look on us, physical. look into us spiritual. When you look into something, you're investigating. Right? And Peter fastened his eyes like this right here. And he says, look into us. He wants all this shut out. Your moment's here. If what I heard in your voice was the mercy of God and faith in that, this is your time. I'm looking for some people. They'll not look on me, but look into me. What I'm carrying. Carrying your victory. Carrying your word. Carrying your wisdom. Follow that. The gift of God. If you knew the gift of God, Philip Gerber ain't that smart on his own. But by revelation. Get past familiarity these next 3 weeks. Hey! Where's the anointing in here tonight? Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look into us. Glory to God. You know you can look into people. How? The eye is the light of the body. You look at somebody and they're looking away. Can't look at you in the eye. Right? You know something's up. Right? You know something's up. Right? But when you can look somebody eye to eye, right? You're looking right in. See? You following this? Watch this. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look into us. And he gave his attention. He gave heed unto them, expecting. Folks, he wasn't expecting a dime. Peter didn't say, you know that by his stripes you were healed? Even though you were born like that, he bore all your sicknesses, carried all your... He none of that. This is the power of expectation. Come on now. Before midnight. Didn't get nothing but Mama Alberta. Come on. Because you already written this day off. I've had midnight manifestations. Hey! Just another part of the day. Wake me up. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Now, you know, he wasn't talking about he didn't have no money. They were broke. We're just poor, poor, poor. None of that. He said, but if you look into me, you're going to see what I got to give is going to match your expectation. Good God Almighty. That just came out of heaven. There's going to be a match. Did you ever play that match game? Whatever. An apple had to match with an apple. Not a banana. That wasn't a match. Right? And here, we got a match. What I'm carrying, victory. You're talking about Peter. You're talking about he's seen it. Not only has he seen it, he's done it. And he looked on them, expecting to receive something. Said, hey, forget about money. That ain't what you need. Now we're talking about something that's been in his life since he's been on this planet. He was born that way. This is radical. Wasn't in a car wreck. Never experienced walking. God ain't got no problem with leukemia. I mean, he got a problem with it. He solved it. Come on now. It don't make no difference what it is. God's looking for a match. Can he find somebody over the next 3 weeks that will match what God, when your faith match? I believe I receive match. Oh, they're in a match. And all it takes is a revelation that gives you inspiration, that brings determination, that gives you that expectation. And all of a sudden you're sitting right here and it leaps up inside of you. Match! My God. It's day one. Got to get you out of here. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Verse 16, Peter said, and in Jesus' name, his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. Remember what he said? He said, don't think it was by our power and holiness, verse 12, we made this man to walk. No, he did it. Good God Almighty. He did it. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee debt free. Thy faith hath put you in that house. Thy faith hath given you that car. Thy faith, thy faith, thy faith, thy faith, thy faith, thy faith. I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. And I'm prophesying next 3 months, remember that? That the blessing going to be on your house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. 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 My goodness. Woo! Ha, ha, ha. We just got an old friend dropping by. But he brought with him a new friend. That old friend just dropped by and brought a new friend. Hey, I'd like for you to meet so-and-so. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith. Now see, religious folk hate this. They like to cut this page out. The faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Well, I tell you what, you can just be sitting in here and get healed. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. That limb that hadn't been operating right. Hallelujah. That joint that's been stiff. Glory be to God. That neck that's been hurting. Hallelujah. That upset stomach that you've been dealing with. Glory be to God. While you're sitting under the word like this, that dizziness, anything like that, anything that's trying to hold you back, that little pain here and that little aggravation there, when you're sitting immersed in the word of God, you're in the jacuzzi of Almighty God, that healing power swirling around, and there you are. All you have to do is be expecting to receive something. Match! There's no higher healing than getting it by the word. Glory to God. I got to get you out of here. Listen. Revelation brings inspiration. Let's just do a little recap. True inspiration will cause a faith action. True inspiration will cause a faith action. You're going to be inspired over the next 3 weeks to do something. And you don't know what it is yet. Well, he may have told you something that's been kind of simmering and is starting to reach boil that you know you're supposed to do, right? So revelation brings inspiration, and true inspiration will cause a faith action. Inspiration brings determination. True determination starts and will not stop until it gets to the end. Determination brings expectation. Now watch this. True expectation believes. You know what it believes in? Somebody help me out. You know what it believes in? Anytime now. True expectation. Anytime now. When you're in expectation. Anytime now, phone could ring. Anytime now, knock on the door. Anytime now, that healing come in your body. Anytime now, that whole situation turn around. Anytime now, that's true expectation. Not just being expecting when the preacher's preaching. And it'll not be cut off. Look at your neighbor and say, anytime now. Anytime now. Anytime now. Glory to God. Woo! Expectation then brings what? Manifestation. Manifestation. Manifestation brings forth three things. Ready? Number one, it gives God the glory. That manifestation of your house, of your healing, you're going to give God the glory. Number two, it gives hope to others when they see what God has done in your life. Are you following this? And number three, you get to richly enjoy it. Don't ever forget those three. And don't get them out, don't get them mixed up. Notice yours is last, and God is first, and who's in the middle? Others. Yeah, it's good. One more scripture. It's 8:29. I got 1 minute. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of all creation, that's you and nature, waits for what? For you and I to get our manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Expectation brings manifestation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you see that tonight? Glory to God. You don't want to miss these meetings, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. This is just lining things out. See? You can take that acronym and write it out. See? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And Mercy, while you're writing that book, write one for this. God's going to give you grace for it. He'll give you grace for it. There's all kinds of books in this place. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that tonight? Lift your hands. Let me bless you. I went a minute over. Father, blessings upon these, your people, as they go their way, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially. I bless them out of the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Go in the love of God, and we'll see you tomorrow night. Be a blessing.